Blessing it is to be here with you all. I've already been encouraged. I like to come and try to be an encouragement to churches, but you guys have flipped that around, and you all have been a blessing to me. But what a blessing it is. In the Indonesian language, I say, Saya memberkati terima kasih atas kesempatan ini untuk berbicara tentang Tuhan Yesus dan tentang Indonesia. I'm going to translate now so the men don't run me off for speaking in tongues without a translator. But what I simply said, and as I tell many churches, thank you for the opportunity to come talk to you about Jesus Christ and about Indonesia. I think we ought to be ready and excited to talk about Jesus Christ because of who he is and what he's done for us. Because all of us have a story very similar, is that we were far from God. But we realized that we were lost and we heard the gospel, whether it was a Sunday school teacher, a parent, a pastor, a neighbor, but someone brought the gospel to us and we found out that there was a friend in Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for what God has done for me. Because there's this long list of all these bad people in the Bible, and at the bottom of that list it says, and such were some of you. And that's me, and that's you, that's all of us. But I'm glad that God doesn't just care for people right here in America. He cares about the people of the whole world, doesn't he? So I brought here some technology for you guys. This is Brother Josh and technology for you, right? Here's my map, if I can get it pulled out. God really does love the world. But there's so many bad people in the world. Don't you guys watch the news? Why would God love all those really bad people? There's bad stuff going on all around the world. There's bad stuff going on down the street. And it's so dark that you and I, if we turn our eyes from the Bible, we're going to just back away from the world. Man, I want to stay away from them people. They're really bad people. But you know what? Jesus kept getting in trouble for hanging out with the bad people. Because he wanted to get them to the bread of life, the living water. He wanted to give them hope, and that's what I have. But Indonesia doesn't. So we take the gospel message to them. Do you guys know where Indonesia's at? A lot of you do. I imagine you do. But here is Josh's map right here, zoomed in. If you find Australia on the other side of the world, just go up, and there's a few islands. Just a few. Does anybody guess, maybe you already know, how many islands are in the country of Indonesia? Just shout it out. 1,000? Did someone say that? 1,000? You have higher or lower? Price is right. Higher. He's going higher. He's going to go 1,001. Okay. Any other guesses? 10,000? They say there's 17,000. That was your next guess, right? I've never counted them. I've not been to all of those islands. They say it's the largest country in the world made up only of islands. There's no mainland Indonesia. So when God led us back to Indonesia, we were looking at all those islands, and you're like, do we get darts out and just throw at it? Like, God, will you direct us? Here's the thing. He will. If you say, God, you've done a change in my life, I don't know why you did. It's all by your grace and mercy. But I want other people to know about this. And you just say, here, my Lord, send me. And whether you go out the door or across the world, God will direct your paths. There is not a Holy Spirit and a God for missionaries. And then over here, there's another one for church members. Oh, God will direct the missionaries, but we're just lost. We're just going to scramble around and just hope God does something. No, we have a God in heaven who created the world, yet he knows your name. And he loves you, and he first wants you to know him as your Savior, but then he wants other people. And the connection is he wants to use us. You say, Brother Josh, you don't know my story. No, but I know our God, and he wants to use you. Church, if I could do anything tonight, may I encourage you to trust God and then just step out. Brother Josh, I don't know what's going to happen if I witness that guy at work. I don't know what's going to happen if I witness that neighbor or that loved one of mine. Listen, I don't have everything figured out about ministry in Indonesia, but I just say, God, would you use me? Hear my Lord, send me. And God is taking care of us every step of the way. His goodness, his comfort, his grace, his protection, his provision is not just for the Ewing family in Indonesia. It's for each one of you. But as your pastor encouraged us all, he put us on the spot, didn't he? He said, we're going to have to think tonight at church. We need to think about God's word. because we're leaky vessels, and we on the test we would figure it out. Does God love me? Yes. Okay, well, let's dig in the scripture, see if it's so, and then be reminded of it, because the devil is constantly fighting us every step of the way. He's trying to battle us in our minds to discourage us, to get us to slow down. Hey, if you don't get out of church, just at least miss a service. Hey, if you don't miss a service, at least get here and then zone out. The devil is just constantly battling us every step of the way, not just the missionaries on all these different mission fields, but right here in America as well. But I'm glad that our God is still at work. So the Indonesian word of the day that I want to teach you all tonight is terima kasih. Okay, so you guys say it with me. I know you didn't come ready for class, you know, but it's just a short pop quiz in the Indonesian language. Okay, so repeat after me. Say terima kasih. You guys are going to do great when you come visit us in Indonesia. You're going to get off the language. You're like, who needs Duolingo? Brother Josh gave us that pop quiz, the little lesson. You're going to just hit the ground running. I love it. They do say Indonesian is one of the easier languages in the world to learn. And I like that. That's I'm okay with that. My dad is too. So, terima kasih means received love. So if you translate it, it means thank you. But the actual words means you have given something to me, and I have received it in the spirit of love in which it was given. I think it's a beautiful truth for Christians as well. And so I wanted to come in person and say terima kasih. I want to say thank you for everything you've given to our family. Thank you for your financial support, faithful financial support, but also your prayer support. Because all the money in the world and many missionaries have left the field. Many missionaries have sent Dear John letters to their churches. And if you remember our story, we were one of those families. My wife and I went out of Bible college, went straight into raising support. We went to the mission field, and 5 years later, we came off the field and stopped being missionaries. We were beat up and discouraged. At the time, I put in the prayer letter, I think, something about health, but really, it was just the devil had beaten us down. We came back just defeated, discouraged, really kind of, I give up, I give, uncle, whatever you need to say. And then people would say, hey, you ever going to be a missionary again? I'm like, no, that hurt too bad. Man, I'm just going to serve God from here. I'll be a sender. I'll try to help other missionaries, but I don't want to do that again. That I messed up. I'm just a broken missionary. And then God just continued to help us. You know how he helped us? Church. Turn me to Acts chapter 13, if you would. Acts chapter 13. Sometimes when we read the book of Acts, we think, well, that was then, but this is now. That was what God was doing then, but you know, Brother Josh, you got to understand, I remember in Bible college, Acts is the book of transition, and you know, but we got to be careful, or we're just going to toss out the whole book of Acts. And we think, well, God's just not doing anything. We're just kind of holding on until Jesus comes back. We need to hold on, but as we hold on, we need to work. And you know where God's doing that work? In the church. So we're going to see tonight the work of the church, but I'm a fruit of the church. What God does in the church, one of our biggest goals when we came out of missions, beat up, number one, you know, you gotta work and provide for the family, but our biggest goal was to show up for church. Now, a lot of people, they say, Brother Josh, you just worship church, don't you? No, I worship God, but you know a great place to worship God? At church. Yeah. Do you know a great place to go when you don't know what to do? Show up at church. You know what to do when your marriage is hurting? Show up for church. You know what you need to do when you're hurting as parents, you're watching your children go through difficult times? Show up at church. Bring them with you. Why? Is there just something magical? No, it's God's grace. It's much better than magic. It's just God's grace at work in us, and it happens in church. And God did that work in us, and then he's like, now I want you to go back to Indonesia, Josh. And I said, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. I like America. And I shared this story before, but God gave me a job, a new career, and I was making more money than I ever thought possible. And then God says, now let's go back. And I said, but Lord, I've end of the year, they got the bonus coming up. Let's just stay put. I'll give more to missions. Church, God wants your heart. He doesn't need your wallet if he has your heart, because then he gets everything. We hold back nothing when he has our heart. We all have a mailing address, right? And then you have where you really live. Like, that's the post office box. I don't want to give everybody my home address. Your home address is where you live. Guess what? God knows where you live. And He can change your residential address. Can God do that, church? He can. And we're proof of it. God moved us to Indonesia, and it's been wonderful. But it's been difficult at the same time. As we went back into missions, our kids were older. All right, we have Hannah. She's our oldest. And then Joe, and then Olivia. And so we had it figured out. Okay, Hannah's got one more year. She's going to go to Indonesia with us. And then we're going to let her come back and do what God wants her to do. And then Joe, he's going to be. And we had all these numbers figured out. Have you ever done this before? And then COVID happened and blew up all of our plans. And I'm like, okay, so everything scrambled. Everything got bumped. And then Hannah's staying back in the States. And we were leaving our 18-year-old daughter in America. But God, this is not what makes me comfortable. And then now we're bringing our son back. We're leaving him here. So get a prayer card. Pray for our family. Now it's Hannah and Joe staying in America. And then myself, my wife Elizabeth, our youngest Olivia, are going back without those two. Man, it's tough. It's difficult. For some weird reason, I think that if I'm close to my kids, I can protect them from everything. But that's not true, is it, church? I mean, whether you're down the street or across the world, they're not in our hands. We can't fix everything and protect and stop everything from happening, but I can trust God with my children, so can you. God took us back to Indonesia. It's so wonderful. We've been back 3 years to see God's hand of protection. But it's not something new. Josh didn't start something new. I didn't figure out anything new. I'm just continuing with what God's been doing a long time. He is great. He's wonderful. And He wants the world to know it. And we get to be a part of that. We get to go to Indonesia, 87% Muslim, the largest Muslim country in the world. How many missionaries do you know going there? How many do you know serving there? We had two pass away this past couple years. One in his 80s, one closer to 90. Men of God that I love and appreciate. And so many missionaries have gone to Indonesia and left. We've just had some recently leave the field, different reasons. We need more laborers in Indonesia. But it's such a blessing we get to serve God there. Turn me to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for allowing us to serve in Indonesia. Thank You that we get to come back and say thank You to this church in person. God, You are at work in Indonesia and right here in this church and in this community. We give You all the praise, but we thank You also for how You work through people and what this church means to our family and our ministry. Please, Lord, as I share from Your word and give an update about what You've been doing, please encourage Your people to continue to serve here. And Lord, I pray that You would raise up laborers from this church and send them into the fields, Lord. There are so few laborers. But God, I'm glad that You're still calling people into Your ministry. For Your honor and glory, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We see here where God has done so much work in the Ewing family's life while we were in the States, even into Indonesia. Now there were in the church. God is at work in the church. He is bringing people to know Jesus Christ as their Savior in the church. What a beautiful testimony of someone coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior today. God is still saving people. But then as God saves people, He doesn't just leave them where they're at. Then He continues to help them grow. And I'm looking at people that have known Jesus Christ. But if you look back over your life, maybe it's been weeks, months, years, you see God's hand of work in your life as He continues to grow you, to help you. I remember as a little boy, I loved church. You know why? Because I got to take my bicycle there and play with all the other kids while all the dads do all the work days. I just love church. This is where my friends were at. This is where we had fun together. This is where I heard preaching. I love church. Kids need that. They need to know that this is a sweet place. This is a time they get to have a good time. They need to have you as their parents saying, this is where my friends are at. It doesn't need to be, oh, well, I mean, I kind of know a few people at church, but my real friends are at work. My real friends are here and there. No, this needs to be where your kids see that you love these people more than anyone else. Why? Because this is our church. This is where we come out from the world. We get help. You know, home cooking is something else, isn't it? Anybody here besides me like to eat? I love to eat. So when I was a kid, you know what I did? I had a youth pastor. He said, man, you need to be praying for your wife. So that when someone comes along, if they don't match up to what you're praying for, it's probably not God's will. So I said, okay, number one, I want her to be saved, knows the Lord. Number two, I wanted her to be surrendered to go wherever God would have her. You see, it's alliterated. Saved, surrendered. And last of all, she needed to be able to cook biscuits. You think, how's that alliterated? At the end of biscuits is an S, because plural. She needs to cook a lot of biscuits, like double batch. And I wanted my wife to be able to cook. Here's the thing. Home cooking is wonderful. Why? There's just something. You get to relax. So sweet. So wonderful. You know what happens in God's house? This is where home cooking happens. This is where you hear the Word of God opened up and just preached. You know, the best meals I've ever had, though, it's not just the home cooking. It's when I'm doing manual labor. See, my dad, he thought it was his responsibility when I was a kid to teach me how to work. Do you know how he taught me to work? He worked me. And if you came over to our house, he worked you too. But you know, when you're working hard physically and you sit down to physical food, man, it's sweet, isn't it? It's wonderful. Like, man, this is good. Regular food, but it's great. When you're working out there spiritually, you're serving God. You're saying, God, use me. Help me serve other people. And then you come in here, you're like, preacher, your preaching's gotten better. Now what is it? He's still preaching the same book he's always been preaching. What's happened is you come in hungry for it. That is what God is doing in his church. And that's why we are church planting missionaries, because it's not about what I can do. It's not about one man can do. It's what God wants to do today and then continuing forward, so that there's children that get to grow up in a church that teaches them and teaches them and teaches them. You know, before I had kids, I knew everything about parenting. I really did. And then I had kids, and all the wisdom, gone, vanished. But here in church, God is raising up children for the next generation. God is continuing that. That's what's going on here. But then look at this church. As they ministered to the Lord, they're working, they're serving. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So you have the servants, they're serving, but now we have the servants being separated. Wait a second, Lord, you don't have authority to take them out of our church and send them to Indonesia. We need them here. Do you think God has the authority to send out a family from your church to Indonesia? And I'm not picking on anybody. I don't have anybody, you know, singled out. I promise, Pastor. But I would love for you to go to Indonesia or another country. But then think about it. If you have a family that's just loving Jesus, serving God, working hard, I mean, their sleeves are rolled up all the time because they're serving God, and then God says, now I need you to send them somewhere else. Hold up, Lord. We got some others we want to send, but not that family. Lord, that, put them down. Put them down. Have you ever seen your kids pick up something and they're about to break it? Put it down, put it down. And you tell, Lord, Lord, you can't have them. But actually, he owns us. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. So God sends laborers out. He sends people out. And the Ewing family, we're nothing special being sent out of our church. But it was not easy. It was not comfortable. I love Indonesia. I went there when I was a kid, as a missionary kid, when I was 10 years old. Came back when I was 17. I loved living there. But there is no place like America. Everybody's like, oh, I don't like America. I'm leaving the country. Okay. I've tried that. I kind of like America. But there's something else inside of me that has pushed us, and now we're excited. We want to live in Indonesia. We love it. We're wanting to get back. We want to serve there. Why? Because that's where God has us. But God can do that with other people. He can separate you, and then He can send you out. And God, the Holy Spirit, has the authority to do that, and He can do that. He is doing that, and we pray that He'll continue to do that all through the world. Indonesians, when they come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, you know, they have a responsibility to share the gospel with other people. It's not just American Christians that need to be evangelistic. It's every blood-bought Christian. They all have the same responsibility. See, some people that are really smart, a lot smarter than me, they say, well, you know, America, they've got the gospel and they buy all this money, so they're going to be this mission-sending force. Well, y'all just have all this money? Y'all don't know what to do with? Probably not. Probably not. It's God doing the work through us. And in Indonesia, they have the same responsibility. But I'm meeting Indonesians that are saved by God's grace, and now they're going out to different islands, being missionaries, being servants of God, taking the gospel right then and there, because they know they have their same responsibility. And God, the Holy Spirit, is doing the same work in Indonesia as He is here. The real problem happens when no one is being separated and sent out. Because when we look at the world, we look at the world and the vast need. Think about West Africa. West Africa alone, having Nigeria, almost has 500 million people. But who wants to go there? Muslims, who's reaching the Muslims all around the world, but who wants to reach them? What about America? Who's serving God here in America? There is not an easy mission field. But God is still calling people out and sending them. Calling them out and sending them. But who does He send? He sends those that are serving, that are working. Can I ask you, what's your ministry in this church? Brother Josh, I don't have a ministry. Why not? God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us. We have God's Word. He's wanting to work in us and through us. It's not because of how special we are. It's because of who He is. He is the reason that He is wanting to work through us. He gets all the glory. So these guys went out and they're like, man, this is exciting. God sent them forth, the Holy Ghost, and then they took off in serving Him. The Ewing family, we had 17,000 islands to choose from. Do you think God can direct our paths? He can, and He has. And I would love to try to, in just a few minutes, share some of how God is directing our paths to encourage you, to let you know that God's not done. If you read the book of Acts and you're not excited, you're probably not reading it the right way, because God is still doing this work. Are you a part of it? I hope so. I hope when you come to church, you're kind of tired. Kind of tired, preacher. I've been out there working for the Lord. I've been serving God, and I'm ready for what You have for me. That's the way God wants it. God is wanting us that way. So we went to Indonesia. All right, Lord, where are we going? You guys remember COVID, right? It just breaks everybody's plans, all your schedules. We were going to go to Surabaya, and there are paperwork. They said, no, you don't have paperwork allowance for that city. You have this area right here. I said, well, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but there's an open door. I'm going to go through it. So I just went through. All right, we got to get to Indonesia. Finally, they had just opened up Indonesia. They were giving out visas. Let's go. So we got there. And they're like, all right, Lord, where are we going right here? Now, when I was a kid, I thought Indonesia was going to be all jungles. We live in the second largest metro area in the world, second to Tokyo. So think Tokyo minus 10 million people. We got about 30 million people in that area. So Jakarta, on a map, typically just has Jakarta, but that's actually the capital region. There's actually 5 Jakartas. North, south, east, west, and central Jakarta, all 5 of those cities. And then we live on an island about the size of North Carolina, but it has 150 million people. Lord, where would You have us to go? We felt God was leading us to Surabaya. That door closed. All right, we're in Jakarta. God, where would You have us to go? Back up, though. Right before the Ewings arrived in Indonesia this time, a friend of ours serving in New York City, that seems like a million miles away to me, okay? A different world, New York City. But an Indonesian man who had met Jesus Christ in Indonesia was sent to New York to work for the Indonesian government. So there he was working, He was saved when he was younger, but he was met with a lot of Protestant churches that just didn't really care about evangelism, didn't really care about other people, really cared more about their building than anything else, money more than anything else, and he got burnt on church. So in Indonesia, he just stopped going to church. Not a good choice, but he then went to New York City and met an independent Baptist missionary who was doing church right. He said, "Now that's biblical. That's right." So then he started growing in the Lord, being discipled, and then he met a friend of mine also serving up there, and he said, "Hey, I've got a buddy going to Indonesia." He said, "Well, funny you should mention that. See, God works in these ways." He says, "My friend Josh Ewing is going to Indonesia. You guys should meet." So we connected on Facebook. When we got to Indonesia, he landed within about 7 days of us because he was rerouted to be working in Jakarta. So then we met. He said, "Brother Josh, if you want to start a church in our country, I sure would like to help you." Now, do you think that was because Josh worked everything out, talked to the Indonesian government 3.5 years before that, sent this guy to New York, made sure he met this other missionary, got him discipled, got him in church, got him excited about serving God, and then had him rerouted back to Jakarta, where he's from, and then we were going to meet. We were going to meet, and we were going to work. No, I didn't do that. God worked it out. Oh, by the way, when we were going back into missions, we thought, what about our kids? You know, missionary kids that are born and raised on the mission field, well, that's easy if they're little, but our kids were teenagers. What are we going to do about that? What we thought about is we'll wait until our kids are older. But God wouldn't let us do that. He says, "Go, trust me." And we did. Our oldest stayed here in the States, and then our younger two went there. The ages of his kids were almost identical to our kids. Do you think Josh worked that out? Absolutely not. That was God. So here's this Indonesian family wanting to help us start a church. And oh, do you think it would help my kids if his kids spoke perfect English? Absolutely. And that was God. And then I'm talking to him. I'm like, "You want to start a church with me? Great." And we're praying about where to start. He said, "Listen, my sister-in-law just lost her husband to COVID. He passed away. She has 3 teenage children. They need a church in this community." Okay, there's an open door. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I'm just going to try to follow God and go through the door. Then we're starting in this community, and I have older missionaries, veteran missionaries, and older Indonesian men. They're like, "That's a smart place to start a church, Josh." Once again, that wasn't Josh. That was God directing my paths. As God directed us there, and then we're finding out, this is not just a typical Muslim area. So Indonesia, 87% Muslim. But this area seemed a little bit different, but I didn't think too much about it. I'm just, you know, trying to go through, serve God, trust God. Let's keep moving forward. But it seems like it was really difficult at the first spot to try to find a place that would even rent to us. Like, "No, we don't need any of that. We don't need that. None of that." So finally, I found a place I could rent by the hour. So every time we'd have a service, I would just rent this space for 1 hour. So we were doing that for some time, but one thing I want you to know about me is I like to save money. I really do. I just bugs me to death that, you know, you got to waste money for this, that. But when you go into the parking lot where this space was that I was renting, you pay by the hour. Oh, man, that I can't stand that, you know. I don't want to go to church and be like, "Man, they're changing charges by the hour." I'm like, "Let's get out of here quick." You know, I was like, "Okay, we don't need to do that." But I found out you could rent a parking space by the month. I was like, "Yeah, now we're talking." It's like $7 a month. Sign me up. This is great. I love this. So we're saving money. But the way I did it, I went to this little office, told them about my car, everything. That, "Yeah, but you're great. Just every month, come in here. We'll pay it." Okay, so I got to know those people a little bit. But then fast forward, we were able to rent a place of our own for an entire year. But we had to pay for it all up front. Made Josh a little bit nervous, okay? I'm like, "All this money is on the line. Okay, Lord, we've got this space. We're starting this church in a Muslim country. Let's see how this goes." But then I knew we were going to have to go and report to that little office that we're going to have to pay the security fees and make sure we pay for a trash pickup. I'm like, then they're going to ask for paperwork. Here's the thing about churches in Indonesia. Once you have a church full of people, you can typically work and take a few years and get the paperwork for a church. But a church plant is more like sticking a stick in the ground and begging God to do something. So we don't have a lot of people. This is a church plant. What are we going to do without the people to get the paperwork? I said, "Oh, man, Lord, you know what's going to happen? We're going to go in there. I'm going to report, and they're going to say, where's your paperwork? And then, like, you know, kick us out, and then I'm out all this money, and I'm really going to be upset. And but Josh is not the smartest guy in the room, and I'm just like, I'm just going to follow him. I'm just going to go through the next door. I'm going to just keep serving him and trust him. So there, I go into the place, and I'm like, okay, we got this ministry. We're going to be teaching the Bible. We've got this space. Here's the address, and there they said it. Okay, we need your paperwork. Have you ever told God, I told you. I knew this was going to happen. Didn't I tell you before I come in here, Lord? I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just saying I knew this was going to happen. And then almost the exact same time, someone else in the office said, no, we know Josh. Hey, Josh, what's the name of your group? Well, I'm here with the Independent Baptist Churches of Indonesia. Listen, I'm just going to write down your paperwork. That's all you need. You're good to go. Have a good day. And I was done. How did that happen? It was because Josh is really good at figuring stuff out. No. It's that God really does love the world, and he really is separating people, and he's sending them out. And where he sends them, he will take care of them every step of the way. And there are times when the missionary might feel like everybody's forgotten him, but I know that there's a God in heaven that has never left me. He has never failed me, and he never will. But you know that same devil that creeps up and whispers in the missionary's ear is doing it to you. God doesn't care about you. Look at everybody at church. Everybody else is rich except for you and your family. Well, that's not true, I know. But the devil's really good at selling lies, isn't he? Everybody's got perfect kids at that church but you. Everybody loves everybody but your family at that church. Just lies. And that's why we got to run to God's word, because we're leaky vessels. And we start doubting the truth. And we got to pour in the truth. So when you're discouraged, you know what you need to do? Show up for church, and God's going to be working, and God's going to be helping you, and you're going to be praying with other people, and you're going to be getting fed from the Word of God so you can go back out and serve. God has been faithful to the Ewing family. He has directed our paths to an area where people from Aceh are moving to. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot to a lot of people, but Aceh is the only province out of all of Indonesia that's under Muslim law. They're trying to get Muslim law spread all over Indonesia, but right now it's under one province out of 40. But you know, when they go to Jakarta, they move miles and miles away. It's like a two-day boat ride. They're trying to get to Jakarta to strike it rich, to make a lot of money. They move to our community. Now, if I had known that, I probably wouldn't have started there. I'm just being honest with you. I like to try to find some nominal Muslims, not the radical kind, but God's like, this is where I have for you. We found out there's a radical Muslim imam in that community, and he has fought against churches for about 20 years in that community to try to keep them out. And God just opened the door and said, this is where I want you. And God has given us favor. God has blessed us in so many ways. We would go and witness in the community behind our church, meeting people, witnessing to people. And then we come back a week later and talk to them. They say, hey, after you left the other day, we had somebody come in and tell us we need to watch out for you. You're spreading your faith. Here's the thing, church. The devil doesn't like us serving the Lord. He doesn't like us sharing the gospel, loving people, inviting them to church, praying for them. He wants us to choose any other option. God continue to help us. But then as we go forward here, these people are going out. They're doing the work. They're spreading the gospel. Verse 6, and when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Guess what? Everywhere we need to be serving God is the same place the devil is trying to hold on to that stronghold. I think that you would have to chuckle a little bit to think, man, where you guys serve, it's easy. Because it's not easy serving the Lord in this community. I know it's not. Now, you can look somewhere else and say, man, it's easier here than it is over there. But everywhere we go, we need God's help to help us serve the Lord and to continue. And we are going to meet with opposition everywhere we go. Not just the Ewings in Indonesia with all those Muslims. Man, we have a lot of friends that are Muslims. We love those people. We're trying to love them, give them the gospel. And there's a lot of broken people all around you. And you need to love them and get the gospel to them. And God is doing all of this. He is the one that's at work. For us, years ago when we left the mission field, in our prayer letter we mentioned health as a major reason, but we were beat up. Maybe it was a year and a half into our time in Indonesia, our daughter, our youngest, Olivia, started throwing up. And she threw up every night for 6 months. And we thought, wow, this is happening again. Really? And man, the discouragement crept in, the darkness in our hearts and our minds. And my little girl throwing up, she said, "Dad, why is this going on? I'm praying. Why is it this going away?" I said, "I don't know, honey, but I know God's good. I don't know why this is happening, but God is good." So we really prayed, my wife and I, talking to friends and our pastor, whether we should come off the field and go to doctors in America, because we're supposed to have the greatest doctors here. But we prayed about it, and we did not have peace about coming back. We said, "Lord, we're staying here. This is where you called us, and we trust that you're going to help us." We went after to doctor after doctor after doctor. We were able to find out a good diagnosis for her. She has a chronic illness she'll live with the rest of her life, but here's the thing. Church family, God who took us there will continue to take care of us. If from our research, from people we've talked to, if we had come back to the States, it possibly would have taken 10 more years to get a diagnosis. You know why? Because it's really hard to see specialists in your country, in our country, here in America. But there in Indonesia, one day we were able to see 4 specialists in a day. We were able to rule out so many possibilities till we were able to finally get the diagnosis. There are dark days, but God is good through it all. And if you just say, "Lord, I trust you. I'm just going to go through. I'm going to serve you." That person needs to hear about you. And I'm going to go tell them. And I'm going to show up for church. Even though everything is pushing us away from church tonight or this week or next week or next month, we just kept showing up, kept serving. Some of the hardest times I've ever had has been at church in Indonesia, walking from my seat to the pulpit to preach. And I'm not trying to get all spooky on you. I just know that the devil does not like us being there. But the last 3 years have been the sweetest 3 years of our family. How is that? How can the tough times be sweet? Because what happens when a little kid falls and bumps his knee? He runs to their parents. And that's exactly what we've done. That's what God wants us to do. You see, Paul just gave this to the Lord. God took care of this. God took care of the opposition. Verse 12, "Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." In Indonesia, they don't want us to be there. They don't want to hear the gospel, but we're continuing. God is at work. A handful of people have gotten saved, and we're discipling them and teaching them the Word of God, but it just seems like there's this wall of trying to get into that community. And I'll close with this. Right before we came back, we were praying about someone to help us in the ministry, and God gave us a young man, graduated from Bible college about 4 years, an Indonesian. He has been such a blessing to us. But we are still praying, "Lord, how do we get into this community?" I was across town doing some paperwork, and out of nowhere, I'm looking at this big, huge office, and I'm trying to figure out where to go, what window to go, what form do I need, and someone called my name out. And I was out of our normal area, far from home, far from where we've been ministering and serving, but someone somehow knew my name. So I turned and I saw somebody. I still didn't know him. He knew my name. I didn't know him. I said, how do we know each other? And he said, "Remember over there?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, right where we've been serving. We met over there one day and we talked a little bit, maybe exchanged phone numbers." But then he's like, "Hey, listen, let me help you with this paperwork." So then he becomes my champion to try to help me out. And he helps me with all this paperwork. He said, "Listen, why don't you come to my house?" I come to find out this man was born and raised right in the community where we have been serving. He was there before the skyscrapers, before the big apartment buildings, without the thousands of people moved in there. It was all rice fields and gardens. And now he is inviting me into his home in the middle of that neighborhood and introducing me to all his neighbors, inviting me to his home. How is it that Josh was able to get an open invitation into this community by a revered, respected man in the community who's been there all of his life. It's because God is directing our paths. And God cares about those people. But he also cares about the people right here in this community. And what God wants is for us to say, "Here, my Lord, send me. I'll follow you, Lord. I will serve you in this church." God's not going to call you to Timbuktu to serve him there if you're not serving here right now. What is your ministry like right now in this church? I hope you have a ministry and you're involved and you're serving and you're growing. But then I would say, if you are, would you be willing to go somewhere else and continue the ministry that God is doing in this church? If you're not, are you really surrendered to God? I'm not calling anybody in here. Just as we don't make people get saved, I don't make people become missionaries. But are you willing? Are you surrendered? And is God already working your heart? We need more help in Indonesia, but we could say that for every country all around the world. Are we surrendered? Are we going through the open doors? Are we trying to figure everything out before we do? Our story is just a story of a regular family saying, "Here, my Lord, send me," and we'll just go through the door. We don't have everything figured out of what's going to happen on the other side of the door. We just go through. But we've seen God's hand at work every step of the way. I'm going to pray and turn it over to the pastor. What do you need to do in your life before God tonight? Trust him. Give him your everything. Do it now. If you've already done it, continue that and find out where God wants you to serve him tomorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for this church. I sincerely mean it, Lord, that I have received all that they have done with love and the spirit they've given it. Father, I pray that you would continue to do that work here and across the world, but also in every family. Show them that you are the one that can sustain them. You are the grace, the power. Nothing in man can make a missionary. There's nothing great in the Ewing family but you, Lord. Please continue to use us. Help us as we go back. Be with our family as we say goodbye to them. But Lord, would you raise up more laborers for Indonesia? Lord, would you raise up laborers out of this church to send them to other countries for your honor and glory? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much.